The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first, so I won't be long-winded. You only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year, so really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, you know, perhaps the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, announcing his retirement. You could hear him choking back. I saw the video of him. Very, very emotional. I'm going to talk about it coming up. We'll dive into that in greater detail. A little bit later in the hour. That's a major announcement. Some people speculate, he's not really going to do it. He said that before. No, I think this is it. I think Brady is done, which is surprising to me. I really thought he was going to play another season, but we can talk about it. That's coming up. Matthew Davis, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer contributing writer, is going to be stopping by. We'll get his take. I'd love to get your take, and we'll talk more. But I do want to, I stumbled on something that just intrigued me. You know, I love to shop online. I don't know if you shop online. A lot of people like to go out and feel the product and take a look at it. But go out and look for a pair of jeans, right? There's a stack of them. People don't put them back in the right order. It's a mess, right? You go online, you can get your length, you can get your waist size, you can do whatever. You want to buy a product, let's say, a sweeper or whatever it might be, you know, and a blender. You can compare the models. You can take a look at all the different things and then make your choice. Then you can hunt for the discount. So when you go to a discount retailer like TJ Maxx or maybe even an outlet store somewhere where you like to shop, you see the product in front of you. You look at the price tag, right? Which has either a manufacturer suggested retail price on it or a list price that shows you how much you would pay if you shop somewhere else for it. And then at TJ's or at the outlet store, it's always significantly less. And you say, wow, I got a real deal on this, right? You feel good about your purchase. And you're like, man, such a bargain. Like you made some great conquest. Well, the same thing happens online. And this is what I stumbled upon. And I think this is worth talking about. Nobody likes to pay full price, right? Who does? So you're looking for the bargain. And when you do it online, there's a little bit more risk involved. I never thought about this. This was an eye-opener for me. So you're not necessarily physically in front of the item. So you don't have that physical price tag. You see whatever they put up on the screen in front of you. So here's an example. Let's say you're shopping for that vacuum cleaner. You come across one, they say, hey, it's $190. Normally it sells for $250, right? They add on, it says $250. We're cutting it to $190. Sounds like a bargain, right? That's a good deal. So you say, boop, I'm going to buy that. You buy the vacuum. A few days later, you talk to your friend. You say, oh my gosh, you can't believe I got a great bargain on this vacuum cleaner. I know you need one. You ought to check this out. And the person says, well, I got that same vacuum, but I only paid $115. You paid $190? You go back online, sure enough, there it is, $115. It's no longer at that list price on the ad. So some research has been done into this, and a recent paper found that this practice is fairly common on Amazon. How many people now are just simply defaulting to Amazon? You figure, oh, everybody puts their products up there. I'm just going to get the best price. I don't need to hunt shop. And plus, I like Amazon's delivery, you know. This is a common practice on Amazon. You might think you're getting a good deal on Amazon. You might be paying more than you would somewhere else. And it extends to everything from drones to digital cameras to blenders, even to the books that you want to buy. So I am joined right now by an assistant professor of global digital marketing at Arizona State University. And she and her colleagues at the University of Florida, the University of South Carolina, they looked into this deceptive marketing practice. And it's good to have with me today, Dr. Manchi. Doctor, welcome. It's good to have you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Hi. This is fascinating to me because, you know, with the pandemic, everybody, even people who were apprehensive before about shopping online, have said, wow, this is incredible. You know, people are buying everything from vitamins to underwear on Amazon. So when I saw this particular study, I thought it warrants talking about. First of all, how did you stumble onto this practice. I would have thought it was just an anomaly, maybe a mismarketing or one individual. How prolific is this and how did you discover it?
Yeah, actually, we started this research by reading a news article from New York Times. So it was like a few years ago when we come to this article, it says that Amazon is going to remove the list price on their website. So we think, oh, this might be an important policy change that could make impacts on consumers and also retailers, sellers. So we started to look at the data and we found out that actually the list price were not removed as they claimed, but we see this change in the list price display. You may see the list price on one day and see it not, and you don't see it on another day. Mm-hmm. And usually we think the price should be lower and discounted when there is a list price claim because that is the sign for the discount. Then we noticed that that's not the truth. We realized for a sufficient percentage of the time, you see the price is actually higher than when there is a list price and the discount claim compared to the day when there's no discount claim, no list price. So that triggers this research and we want to look into that or what's happening there and how may that affect the sellers and consumers.
Is Amazon aware of this practice? I'm assuming if they are, they take those ads down.
Based on our data, we observe this practice not only by Amazon itself, because you have Amazon as a seller on Amazon, but also other like third-party sellers, right? As a platform sellers. So we do observe the practice from both type of sellers.
So just so I'm clear on that, I'm assuming that these are people that aren't associated with Amazon. They're selling their products. They put this false price up. They give you the lower price, which is way above what you could normally get it. Is it just Amazon or is it other places online that do this as well?
Oh, yes. We also check some other website. Like if you go to Walmart.com, we also observe similar practice. Yes.
Wow. Walmart.com. So, I don't know the law regarding this. Is this practice illegal? And if it's not, should it be? I mean, people could put up products for any price they want. If somebody wants to buy them, then they buy them, right? What's the law say about this practice? It's deceptive advertising in some respects, but I don't know. I don't know how that works.
That deceptive pricing has been regulated a lot by the laws. But if you look into those regulations, those laws, you will notice that there are many regulating like the value of the list price or regular price you put there. For example, for like California's regulation, you can put a list price or or any other regular price, but that should be a real list price. It could be any past price you charged in like the last 90 days. So you cannot give a fake price or like inflated price that you never charged. So that is based on the value of the price. But the practice we have found is more about the timing of posting the price. Yeah. So the seller synchronized the timing of posting the list price and the price increase. Yeah. So the timing manipulation is not yet, to our knowledge, is not yet clearly regulated by most of the laws, federal or both.
Yeah, no, I get that. So how do you guard yourself against this? I mean, I love to shop online, right? I guess you just got to keep shopping for the best deal, right? You got to look at more than just a couple places. And are there indicators? Should we be wary of any listing that says list price? This is $250 and you can get it for $199. I mean, what are the red flags and what are the best procedures to safeguard, you know, that you don't overspend?
Yeah, so as a consumer, sometimes when you see this is a deal, this is a bargain, you might just want to grab it, right? So you think this is a cheaper price. But people might not, especially for products like vacuum cleaners or blenders. You don't buy it every day. It's not like gas. So you have like relative weak knowledge about its regular price or what's the price from yesterday. So consumers might want to like think, like wait for a second, and maybe they can utilize a lot of like pricing tracking tools to track, oh, what might be the price from yesterday or in the last 30 days. There are websites available, like, I don't know whether you are aware of the website like Camel or the website of EPA. So those websites, they have like a price history for many products sold on Amazon or some other online platforms. So you might want to check, oh, what will be the price from the last few days, last few months, and whether that list price is there. And you will know whether this price under the discount plan is truly a cheaper price or is just framed as a discount.
So what are the websites? So, Camel. What was the other one?
The other one is called Keepa. K-E-E-P-A.
Keeta. Okay, cool. I'll have to check them out. Yeah. Doctor, I've never heard of them, but I think it's great to be able to say, hey, what does this normally sell for, and where do I get the best deal? Hey, I'm really grateful for your time today. If people want to read more or learn more about this, is there a resource you want to direct them to?
Yeah, so this research has been published on Marketing Science Journal. So the title of this paper is called
That's okay. Well, I'll tell you, we'll track it down and we'll put it up on our social media. We'll find a way to get it out there for you. Doctor, thank you for your time. Great talking with you today. Appreciate all your effort.
Yeah, very happy to talk to you.
Thank you so much. You can check out this article. We'll track it down. I think Maggie, you and I have it. We can put it up at our social media page at Drew Mariani Show. My gratitude to Dr. Manshi, who did the research on this. It was an eye-opener to me. I had no idea that, you know, you could be looking like you're getting a great deal and really you're getting rooked in the whole process. And that's kind of the bottom line. So grateful for her time today, too. If you want to join us, the number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I never heard of that site either, Camel or Keeta. I got to check out both of those as well. So, you know, Maggie, I know you're getting close to your wedding and, of course, to your anniversary. I just discovered Nick, who's on our phone. He's getting married. He's going to Italy as well for his honeymoon. You're going to Italy for your honeymoon.
Correct.
And then Lauren is getting married. So who goes there first? Who's the first one over to Italy?
I think I am.
So you're going in May.
Yeah, and then Nick, and then Lauren, and then you're going to be there in September. And Nick sent a message and came up with a great idea. He's like, we should leave little notes or treasures that the other people have to find.
Because yeah, that's what I said. I said, you know, we should, when you go over, because you're going to be there before me, hide a message like in the Coliseum or stick it under, you know, the bench at, you know, where the Trevi Fountain is or do something like
we'll
that.
We'll do a little treasure hunt.
So you're first and then Nick and then others. That'd be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool. You could.
You're first out. You're going to hide all the things.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe it would be fun to get like some Relevant Radio logos on something, and you know, it'll be like Captain's Log Day 13, and I'll put my message, and then Nick will have to find it, and then Lauren, and then you, Drew, you could have the easy part. You could just have all the pilgrims look for it.
Well, that's it. Whoever travels with me, I'm going to Italy in September. I think it's a great idea. I'll tell everyone who travels, hey, be on the lookout. All right, now, you're going to have to write up some clues. It's going to be like a treasure hunt,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I've never done one of those.
Me neither, but we'll make it happen.
A Relevant Radio treasure hunt. I like it. That's going to be fantastic. Now, Nick speaks fluent Italian. He studied over there, so I think he'll elicit some help. I think Nick's going to clean up.
Yeah.
So. Well, Nick, if you find everything, you're going to have to leave some for me and my crew. All right? You'll have to definitely do that. Nick's on the phones.
He's giving you the thumbs up.
If you want to join. I love it. It's going to be fun. Are you getting ready? How close are you to everything's all planned? You're just on autopilot now?
Everything is in motion, and there's a couple of things we need to tie up, and it's like a lot of little details that we're we're kind of like sweeping up.
You're just watching now the clock.
Yeah.
As it ticks by.
Yeah,
I
logged into our, like, there's a planning website we've been using, and it said 93 days or something. Oh, and I was like, oh my gosh, when did we get under 3 digits?
Isn't it crazy, though? I mean, if a lot of people have had their sons or daughters or their spouses or just have been married. I mean, the internet has really changed things, hasn't it?
Oh, totally.
Just in terms of the way you can send out, you know, invites or track things or order or have your photography. There's so much you could do online. It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
It's fun, though. It's good. You're going to have a great time. It's going to be here before you know it. I said, we got a pledge drive next week, believe it or not. That might be a shock to a lot of people. They come 4 times a year. But the last pledge, the next pledge drive after this is May. And you're not going to be here, Maggie.
I'm not going to be here.
You're going to be praying for success.
It's true. I will. I'll go to all the big churches over there, and I'll pray that everyone continues to bless Relevant Radio.
Did Nick not know you were going to be gone?
He didn't know. Ah, I have to let all the producers know.
Oh, I let the cat out of the bag. Yeah, that's a big thing, because Maggie's, you know, producers, everybody during that week, it's all hands on deck. Everybody's got to be here.
They made a special dispensation for me.
But not for Nick. He's got to go later. Oh.
Nick was smarter. He planned differently.
That's hilarious. That's great. Oh, I'm happy for all of you. And, you know, and I want to invite you to join me. I don't know if you have thought about this. I saw a story the other day, speaking of Rome. You know, Rome is a city built upon a city upon a city upon a city. It's crazy. Nick knows is probably better than most. He lived there for a while. An ancient statue of Hercules they discovered while they were doing repairs on a sewer in Rome. You know, this is a work that depicts the mythological hero and apparently dates all the way back to the Roman imperial period. And it was found on the Appian Way. And in ancient, you know, this is an ancient Roman statue. This stuff is amazing. How does it get lost, right? Like, if you go to the Vatican and Nick, I don't know if your mic in there works or not, or whether I should bring him in or not. Nick, why don't you come here for a quick second? I want to talk to you about this. You know, if you ever want to go take the Scavi tour, I better wait for Nick to get in here. He doesn't have headsets on. He can't hear me. Nick, come on in here, or wherever you want to go. You can come in studio or stand there by that mic. Have you ever done the Scavi tour?
I have. I've done it maybe 3 times.
Yeah, to me, this is such a bizarre. I mean, well, it's not bizarre. It's actually quite amazing. And the Scavi tour is where you go down to see the remains of St. Peter.
Exactly.
Right? And he was, you know, the not the legend, but the truth is he was executed in Rome there, and his head was buried. His body, his remains were buried underneath of where the Vatican now resides, the Basilica of St. Peter, right?
Exactly.
So you go down in this tour, and there's like a whole city down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, isn't that crazy? I mean, underneath the streets of Rome, they're like, what do they do? Just fill this stuff in?
Well, it was found during World War II. It was a secret excavation during World War II, and the Pope at the time, you know, they were doing it at night so as not to, be seen during the daytime, you know, during the war.
Wow.
It's striking. And you go through essentially this necropolis underneath St. Peter's Basilica, and it crescendos with the bones of St. Peter, which are right underneath the altar in the basilica itself.
Which is just so cool. I was amazed because you go down there, you could see what it was like 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. There's a whole city there that was just, I guess when Constantine came in, he just filled everything in. Is that the mindset and built right on top of that?
And it's fascinating, like you said, to see what ancient Romans were like, because you can go to different parts of the city and see the artwork that's on the tombs. And so you see, you know, people with their arm outstretched, and then you see Jonah in the whale, you know, which is like a symbol of Jesus's resurrection. So you see what the early Christians were thinking and praying about.
Yeah, I'm assuming you did the catacombs there too, as you go down to the catacombs?
Yeah, exactly. I've done one of the catacombs, the catacombs of Priscilla.
St. Callista? Oh, you did Priscilla. Yeah.
I
think I did Callista. I mean, unbelievable to see. I mean, I think the first 300 years, all popes were martyred. They were put to death. So you'd be celebrating mass down there, and next thing you know, you're being drug out and executed. But to see the remains of early Christians, I mean, it's an extraordinary, extraordinary experience, to say the least. And I had a conversation with a man who wrote a book called Finding the Bones of St. Peter or the Fisherman. I should dig that up. I'll replay that in the future because I think it's a great conversation. I try to play it once every year. But you studied over there, right? You were thinking about going in the priesthood?
Exactly. So I was there for three years.
So I'm going back. Mm-hmm. I've been there many times, this time with a pilgrimage. What would you recommend to those who travel with us? What's some of your favorite sites to see?
Yeah, so I looked at your itinerary and I saw that you have a free day. And I think, to the extent that you can with one free day to get lost in Rome and to wander about the city, because I think that's the best way to soak it in. So whether that's going to the Jesuit church, the Gesù, whether that's going to see, I know you guys are going to see the major basilicas, going to the Pantheon. But then just walking around and people watching in these places, because that's how you get a sense for how people are soaking in the city.
What's the church with a big Divine Mercy image? It's right near the Vatican. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I can't think of the name.
Huge Divine
Santo
Mercy.
Spirito? It's Santo Spirito.
Yeah, it's Santo Spirito.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
one. So that's one of the things you could do is you go to the Vatican. If you want to go to St. Peter's, you want to walk. It's right down the street from there. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you've ever been there. It's kind of a forgotten church.
I've been to Mass there.
Have you been to the church where the souls in purgatory are honored?
Yes.
The Church of the Suffrage?
They call it the Purgatorium. So they have this like side room with all of these images that have been supposedly touched by people in purgatory.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit earlier, and Maggie's mouth is open. She's like, you're going to have to fill her in where to go, because on a free day, I don't think that's on our itinerary, but that's right down the street. I mean, it's really not that far away, and you can walk there, have masses said for your departed loved ones. I've often said when I went in that church, I've been there twice, it's almost as though the souls of purgatory scream out. I mean, it's almost like the veil that separates heaven and the next life is thinner. There's a cry for prayer. It's a Gothic church, and there's something about it, especially in Rome, to see that type of church. Then you go in the back room and you see the evidence of these purgatorial souls. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And I know in Rome, carbonara. Mm-hmm. Rome's known for carbonara.
Carbonara, for sure.
And if you want real, you might say, I don't really care for carbonara. You got to try it in Rome. Okay, you got
to
try the real.
You have to.
The real deal there. But food wise, what would you recommend?
Sure.
What's your favorite?
So there's four Roman pastas: carbonara, amatriciana, which is pancetta in a red sauce, and then there's gricia, which is the pancetta without the egg. So it's like carbonara but without the egg. And then cacio pepe, which is just the pepper and the cheese. So you have to try the four Roman pastas when you're there. And then you get the real experience.
I also like linguine alla vongole.
That's great too.
Oh my gosh, that's the linguine. And right out of the sea, they have these clams. If you like clams, a lot of people probably cringe because some people don't like them. That is so good.
It is.
Oh my gosh. We could talk food all day. I love
it. Yeah, it's true.
I love it. And then, of course, papal audiences, right? You get to do that.
It's great. It's a great experience to be so close to the Holy Father and also to really see the faith of so many people from all over the world looking forward to seeing the Pope and being at St. Peter's.
Yeah, it's awesome. We'll have to talk more about it. And I like the idea of a treasure hunt. So let's do that. I want you guys to hide relevant radio clues or to do something in these holy places, and we'll try to gather them and see where you've been.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun to powwow. Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate talking. Nick handles our middays. He's on the phones right now, and you can join him as well. I do want to invite you to join me, though. I'm going in September to Italy, and I'll tell you what. That's just some of the things we're going to be doing. We're going to go to Rome, and we'll have a free day there, as we said, along with other things. We'll see the major basilicas. You'll see St. John Lateran and St. Paul outside the wall, as well as the catacombs. But then we're going to go to a place called Orvieto, where there was a Eucharistic miracle. You're going to go and pray in the very place where St. Francis of Assisi received his stigmata. Right, where he prayed, where the Lord told him to rebuild his church. And then you're going to also, take trips to see the beautiful countryside. I mean, we're going to go to San Giovanni Rotondo, where Padre Pio lived and prayed and suffered and shed blood, and he bore the wounds of Christ there. You're going to go to Lanciano, where there's Eucharistic miracle, and Montepello. Montepello is kind of a cool place too, where there's a thin cloth. You can see through it, but it has a male face believed to be the cloth that was put over the face of the Lord when he resurrected. And you'll see a face on this cloth. It's a pretty cool experience. Maggie's looking forward to Sorrento. I told her, if you want the best limoncello in the world, you go to Sorrento. Especially, you're going to love it, Mag. You will love Sorrento. But here's how you get information, and that's just something. We're gonna pray together. Let's say we're going to play together. We're going to eat together. Yeah, I want to give some talks. I'll probably give talks on the Eucharist, you know, and some of the great Eucharistic miracles and on the stigmata and some of the saints. And I'm going to spend a little more time trying to find the right place to go ahead and do this. So, but information's available at relevantradio.com/Italy. That's relevantradio.com/Italy. Okay. And you can get all the details. Nativity Pilgrimage is putting it together for Relevant Radio. I have the privilege of being on it. Here's a phone number for you. It's 832-406-7050. 832-406-7050. But relevantradio.com/Italy has all the info. You can call Nativity and they'll fill you in on all the details.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Turn it up! The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You don't even know. I can make your hands clap.
Turn it up! Yeah, here we go. Home stretch here. Let's have some fun. Tom Brady, let's talk about him, the GOAT, right? The greatest of all time. Pretty impressive record, that's for sure. Is it true? Is Brady finally, is he really retiring? One of my producers here, Patrick Alog, was saying, I don't think so. And he had a very clever reason for saying that. I'll have Patrick jump on in a minute here and maybe share that with Dave, with Matthew Davis, who's going to be joining me in a second here. But you know, Brady said this last year as well, right? There aren't many people whose retirements make news, right? Pope Francis, of course, that was a huge one. But Brady, Benedict, you're right. Benedict, good point, Maggie. Benedict actually did make his announcement in 2013. And that shocked the world. That was perhaps the greatest retirement announcement, I think, of the past 1,000 years. People could not believe that. President Biden, if he were to step aside, that'd be major news, right? CEOs of major companies that step aside. Okay. When a sports star like Tom Brady, who has the most Super Bowl wins in NFL history, who's playing the game at an unbelievable level at the age of 45, is one of the longest running players, announces a year ago he's going to retire, came back to play another season. People wondered. They asked him when he was leaving, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He's going to make up my mind. You know, I thought he was going to play, to be honest with you. I really did. But he announced today, and he did it in a heartfelt way, that he is retiring. Meg, you have his audio, right? Why don't you cue that up? And we'll play that if you haven't heard this. He announced today that he's going to be retiring, which came this morning as breaking news. And the reason I think he's legit, listen to the emotion that is in his voice. Listen to him. I don't know. He's kind of choking back, I think, in some respects, even the tears. I saw the video of it. But he had a relationship with the fans, and America loved him. And here's what he said. He wanted you to be the first to know. So listen to this.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Kind of hear it. He's had a rough year, divorced from his wife. I feel bad because I think if you go out, I could just see NFL putting these packages together on his life, on his legacy. To go out like this is kind of going out with a whimper instead of a big bang. Matthew Davis writes about Brady. And he writes about the Bucs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the NFL for Heavy.com. He's been with me in the past, and I invited him back just as a writer. I thought, oh, I'll get some quarterbacks on, but here's an analyst, somebody who has studied the life of Tom Brady and has closely monitored his decisions from divorce to retirement. And Matthew joins us today for some perspective. Matthew, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Yes, thank you, Drew, for having me on. Yes, this was a surprise to me. There's a lot of comments recently that he's had on his podcast and an interview on Entertainment Tonight last night that seemed to indicate he hadn't really made a decision yet. But here we are today.
Well, you know, like I said, you watch him make this decision. From what I'm seeing and the way he delivered it, I don't think this is, hey, I'm going to come back again a season later. I think he's done. You know, he made the announcement a year ago. And he came back for, I guess it was a third season with Tampa. It was a tumultuous season, but he led the team to the playoffs. Something, you know, he'd done every year since I think 2002, and he retires as a real leader. What do you think the motive was? Is he having difficulty after his divorce? What do we know about Brady and what I guess pushed him to make this decision? Because, you know, if he found the right team, I think this guy had more life.
I think this is truly a season like he never had before in his life. And I mean, that's probably stating the obvious, but it's on so many layers. But I'm actually going to go back to something that Charles Barkley, of all people, said about Brady. And Barkley has a relationship with Brady. They've golfed together for some celebrity golf events. And Barkley made this comment that Tom Brady is one of the most humble pro athletes he knows. And a comment Brady had made in the past about himself, he said, I'm going to retire, but I'm no longer any good. I'm majorly paraphrasing that. But he basically said, if I'm not a championship level quarterback anymore, I'm done. It's time for me to retire. That's kind of the benchmark he kind of put out there. He mentioned he wanted to play till 45. Well, he did that. But it's very clear, and there's not a lot of analysts saying it, but Brady left some doubts out there. Is he still a championship level quarterback? Yeah. The Buccaneers won 8-9, and it wasn't just because of one thing. It was a multitude of things, and part of it was Brady's play. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he threw the ball. He got the ball out a lot quicker than he did in the past, and he missed a lot of receivers deep downfield like he never had before. Yeah. He never had a losing season, even in high school or college.
Wow.
And you look at those kinds of things. You look at the struggles. You look at the frustration you can see on camera at the games that he's having. It wasn't the same Brady for the past 22 years before this. There was definitely some things that were different, and I'm sure there was probably some things that were eye-opening for him, like, hey, I do have to take a hard look at this. And two things that were kind of notable that happened on the very last game when they just got blew out by the Cowboys.
Yeah.
His parents came down to the tunnel as he was leaving the game, and he kissed his parents as he went through the tunnel. He tipped his cap to the crowd, and then in the press conference he said goodbye to the media. I think it was more talking to local media. Said, you know, your regulars, you know, I wish you the best, you know, it's been good working with you and appreciate what you do. And it was nice, and it did seem like, well, maybe this is a goodbye. And then like a week later, some reports came out to Buccaneer players were saying, well, yeah, he's leaving, we don't think he's going to be back. But the speculation was, well, he's going to go to the Raiders, he's going to go to the Dolphins, he's going to go to the 49ers, he's going to join the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, every single team is getting linked to this guy, and that's kind of what the NFL offseason's about in the media, pretty much, is who's going where, who's doing what next season. But again, here we are today, because I think Brady did recognize, you know, I'm not a championship level quarterback, but he also has different obligations now than he did a year ago. He's a single father to three children. And anybody that understands divorce or experienced or grew up with it knows that it's very hard to be two parents at once. But when you're in that situation, you are being two parents to those children at that moment.
Yeah. That's a really good point. My guest today is Matthew Davis. If you want to join us, feel free to pull up a chair. We'd love to have you join the conversation. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Does that leave Aaron Rodgers now as the oldest NFL quarterback playing the game? Where's he?
I think it does. It does among the starters for sure. There might be a backup somewhere out there that's a little older than him. But
what do we know about? I know you report for Tampa Bay for the Bucs there. But what about Rodgers? He had a very strange exit. His last Green Bay game, I believe he walked off the field, locked arm in arm What was it with one of his wide receivers or his running back? Was that an indication of something? And they came in the stadium that way, they left. I think Rodgers will play a third and final season.
It could go any direction because we've seen this movie the last two or three years with Aaron Rodgers. It's I'm going to get traded. I'm done with the Packers. There's the split. Then all of a sudden, right before the season, hey, I'm coming back. It's the last dance. I think that one's like way more unpredictable than Brady, to be honest. And it could be any number of things. I know there's stuff coming out right now that there's more serious talks about trading Rodgers. Where would he go? The New York Jets has been a rumored team, but then he's following Brett Favre's path, which means is he going to be wearing purple in another 2 years? I mean, this is
right.
So it's hard to say what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. And I think Aaron Rodgers, in a different way than Brady, is kind of, I don't know, like a master of the media or master of entertainment. And he, you know, keeps himself in the news and, you know, keeps the drama, you know, wheel going, so to speak, for months and months. And people just, they gravitate toward this. They're interested in his life and interested in what he's going to do next.
Yeah, it's both these quarterbacks were just unbelievable to watch, you know, and you know, we got to watch history. If you watch Aaron Rodgers, if you get to watch, of course, Tom Brady. Brady retires as the all-time leader in regular season passing yards, over 89,000 of those, 649 touchdowns. I mean, those numbers are crazy. Has, seven Super Bowl wins? He's been there 10 times. Who will ever break these records? Do you think we'll see? I mean, records are made to be broken, but, man, he had a long run. What do you make of the legacy that Brady left behind?
He's the greatest of all time, without question, in terms of just overall achievements as a quarterback or just about anybody in professional sports history. I mean, to get to 10 championship games. I mean, every playoff game of the NFL is a game seven. If you think about the other sports, yeah. NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, you get one shot in those playoff games. And he got to 10 championship games and won seven of them. You know, his longevity is, of course, unmatched. I mean, nobody played a starting quarterback role till age 45 until he did it. And it's going to be hard to replicate that. The new version of the NFL quarterback or the new prototype of the NFL quarterback is a running quarterback that gets in there, that can move the pocket, can run downfield, can throw on the run. And we're seeing these guys like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes getting banged up. I mean, we don't even know if Patrick Mahomes will be 100% for the Super Bowl. He'll play, but if you watch the AFC championship game, he was hobbling around a tiny bit and it wasn't totally himself. Will he make it 23 years? I think it looks kind of doubtful, but he's on Brady's pace right now in a lot of ways in terms of his success. But that really just shows how hard it is going to be to match Brady. And I don't know if any of the current top quarterbacks out there really have a shot. I mean, it's maybe Patrick Mahomes, maybe Joe Burrow, but I think those are all outside chances at this point.
Yeah, you never know how your career fizzles. I mean, you're lucky to get this far, but, you know, getting to the big game, it's tough. I mean, you got to face a lot of competition. Any team can lose on any given day. Speaking of Mahomes, you know, I've had a high ankle sprain before. I know how painful it is. It hurts to get up off your couch or out of your chair or out of your bed just to walk to the bathroom to brush your teeth, right? And this guy's running around. I mean, that's, you know, for Kansas City fans in the Super Bowl, they go up against Philadelphia Eagles. That would have me a little bit concerned. But I know he's got the best docs that are out there, and it'll be certainly a good matchup, to say the least. When it came to Brady's retirement, I mean, I was a little shocked. I mean, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, as you point out, he's got five Super Bowl MVP awards. You know, he's won, I think, 35 playoff games in his career, the most of any player in NFL history. I would think NFL films, the NFL in general, they would be putting these big packages together, this, you know, farewell to Brady, and yet this came as a surprise. You think you're going to do that? Will there be some sort of send-off, or after the season ends now and next year rolls around, does Brady become somewhat as a memory and it's not as special?
That's a good question. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of things that are going to come out with things like NFL Network and ESPN, and obviously Brady does his own production things. I mean, he has a movie coming out about the Super Bowl he won against the Atlanta Falcons when he was down 28-3. So
that's
there's
crazy.
Lots to come. And I mean, will he be inducted to like Rings of Honor in New England and Tampa? I would presume so. I would be very shocked if he wasn't, as everybody else would be. So I think there's going to be all kinds of kind of farewell stuff. He didn't want that kind of send off. He didn't want the Derek Jeter type send off that we saw with the Yankees. Gosh, how many years ago was that now? It was almost a decade ago. He didn't want that. And so he really left us guessing all year. Is this his last? I mean, like he did last year. And he doesn't draw like a ton of attention to himself, at least directly. He tries to deflect it to others when he does draw attention to himself, which I think is a neat quality. But at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of recognition, but he is going to be forgotten gradually, like every great player is. I mean, how much do we talk about Bart Starr now today, who kind of, you know, made the Packers what they are in the Super Bowl era? How much do we talk about, right, you know, going even further back, Sammy Baugh? I mean, Bears fans, most Bears fans don't even know what it was like to have a Bears championship team, but they did back in the day. So, I mean, we all get forgotten by history, and I think it should be a lesson to all of us that, you know, these greats, sooner or later, they're going to be a distant memory just as the greats before them.
That's so true. Such a great point and such a true perspective. It really is. Look, stay with me, Matthew. I got to take a short pause. When we come back, we can talk more. We're talking about what Brady's doing next. Big contract he has dangling before him. And, of course, your picks for the Super Bowl. We can talk about that and a whole lot more. If you want to get in, I only have a few minutes left. I'd love to hear from you. You can pull up a chair and join our conversation. The number to do that is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Give us a call. Our conversation continues right after this. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
Weigh in now. 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, thanks for joining us. It's good to be here with you today. Patriots legend, Tampa Bay legend now as well, Tampa Bay Buck legend, Tom Brady retires from his NFL playing career. He went on social media this morning, if you didn't hear the news, and says, "I am retiring. This time it is for good." Brady, of course, spent 20 years in New England, and I know they were sad to see him leave. And, of course, I'm joined today by a man who's followed Brady's career and who's written about him extensively down in Tampa. His name's Matthew Davis. He writes about the Tampa Bay Bucks and the NFL for Heavy.com. You can check it out. He's writing an article right now. We were just talking about this during the break, and I'll share it with you as well. Something went down during one of the last games, something with his parents. And Matthew, you got to share with everyone not only the article you're writing, but what that was and what that might have portended.
Yes, it actually came out on ESPN this morning. I'm going to write a little bit about it this evening and get something up. And basically, Adam Schefter of ESPN said that he ran to his parents after the game at the hotel. It's pretty common that some of the media happen to stay at the same hotel as his parents. It's happened numerous times. And he was talking with his parents, and his father just kind of blurted out, "Well, gosh, if this is the last time, this has been quite a ride, and it's been really something." And then he's like, "Oh, I maybe should have actually said it that way," or something like that, kind of to that effect. And Adam Schefter was just saying, you know, reading between the lines, it really looked like, hey, he really seems to know that his son's really thinking this is it. This is going to be his last game, this last career, last year of his career, excuse me. And, you know, here we are today, you know, only a few weeks later, it indeed is. And Brady was on his podcast a few weeks ago saying that if he retires again, it's going to be for good. And to see it happen a few weeks later here now, it seems like it's a pretty consistent line of thought and logic that he's going to do this. He's done it now, and he's going to stick with this decision. And his parents don't normally come down to the tunnel at the end of games, at least from what I've seen over the years. So that was already a big deal to begin with. So it was interesting that they already kind of had some hints that is kind of leaning this direction. And he was really down to just retirement of the Buccaneers. Like, there's all these rumors of where he's going to play. And he obviously thought about those things for sure, you know, weighing all the options, but was really only serious about returning to the Buccaneers or just hanging it up for good. And I think there's a lot of life dynamics that really led to that decision, especially as children.
Yeah, speaking of life dynamics, I mean, after, what was it, 20 years of marriage? How long was he married to Gisele Bündchen? They end up divorcing. 13 years?
Yes.
13 years of marriage. You know, and after that breakup, things didn't look so good. What kind of impact did that have, and what can you tell us about the divorce and how that played into these decisions he's making?
Well, I like how one reporter put it better than I could have, and I don't remember which outlet he was with, but it's like the night before he announced the divorce publicly, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens, and the Buccaneers just did a lot of the typical Buccaneers things they did this year, a lot of struggles all over the field, and still kind of like plotted their way back into the game and tried to make it interesting near the end, just couldn't get it done. And he was just had his head buried and his hands for about 20 minutes in the locker room before he came out to talk to the media. And this reporter commented, it was a miracle he even played. That he even played as well as he did, because this isn't like the Brett Favre, you know, game after his dad dies, or the right. Michael Jordan flu game, or the year Jordan first won the finals after his father was murdered. This is a whole nother thing. If marriage is really what, you know, God reveals marriage to be, then there's nothing more crushing than a divorce.
Yeah.
And I think we saw the fruits of that throughout the season. He struggled mentally and emotionally, and I see other commentators say the same thing. He was physically there. He was playing well, and he made some great plays throughout the season. But you could see there's just a little something missing. I'm sure that's part of it. I've known divorced people have said, like, I was happy to hang on to my job during that time.
Yeah.
And Brady's human as the rest of us are. It's going to affect him the same way. And, you know, and I'm saying this purely as an observer.
Sure.
But it seems that when you put all the pieces together on social media, news reports and things like that, this is clearly something he didn't want, that she wanted more. And, I mean, obviously it's difficult for either spouse, right? But especially the one that's abandoned. That's just usually the way it happens. And
it's tough. Is Brady's Catholic, right?
Yeah, my understanding is they're Catholic. They had a Catholic wedding in 2009. So there's all these things about, oh, who's Brady going to date next? And part of me is almost like, I'm not going to look forward to Googling Brady anytime soon after this.
Is Giselle dating now?
Thing goes.
Is she dating?
Yeah, there's rumors of her dating. There's all kinds of rumors of Brady dating. He has some like supermodel super fans that are following him. And the thing is, it almost reminds me of like the suitors for Joseph in, you know, the Old Testament Genesis, where, you know, Potiphar's wife and all those kinds of things coming after him. It's like, there's nothing on social media to suggest Brady's dating anybody. And there's nobody at the stadium that's with him or anything like that before or after the games. At least it's been spotted in the media. So I think that seems largely concocted to me, but that's just my personal opinion, not professional observation, et cetera. But again, I mean, this is what the world creates. I mean, we put more weight on the civil marriage versus the sacramental marriage.
You know, I'm going to root for them to get back together. It would be great if they could do that. It is tragic. It is sad to see any marriage break down like that. And, you know, you make the point that, you know, people who sometimes go through divorce, they really need their job. Sometimes your job becomes your second wife, becomes your spouse, you know, and that often leads sometimes to the breakdown in your real marriage. And to the point of the divorce afterwards, you almost think he'd want to stay in the NFL, so he's got something to focus on. But let's just pray for Tom. We'll pray for Giselle. Yeah. We'll pray for all those in troubled marriages. Let's grab a call or two. I don't have a whole lot of time. Stan is in Northern Nevada. He's got a comment for you, Matthew. Stan, thanks for joining in.
Yeah, when I listen to you guys talk, I think perhaps there's a lot more, too much hype around Brady's retirement and maybe Aaron Rodgers' future. I seem to remember Bart Starr and Joe Namath and Johnny Unitas. They went to other teams and they kind of faded away. Yeah. What's always stood about me, I don't know how you compare generations of quarterbacks, the greatness that stood out for at least for Starr and Unitas was their character that emerged that I still look upon. And I sort of put Brady in that category. I've come to learn to admire him, and I want to chime in. I hope for the best that him and his wife get back together, because I think I see this character that I haven't seen during these last few months. So I think they're a great quarterback, but I don't know how you compare athletes from different ages because the rules are different.
It's true.
You can't hit the quarterback as much, all of that. And,
that's so
and
true.
I remember watching Bart Starr play, how great he was, especially on that drive, and how that's inspired a lot of people, his performance, his character as a man. And I think Brady will fall into that category.
Stan, thank you for your comments. I'm going to let Matthew respond to you, and he does bring up a great point. I look at the beatings that Brett Favre got for when he played for Green Bay. Rules have radically changed. Or you take any of the other quarterbacks, Montana, you take a look at a lot of these man, they got pummeled. You know, today the quarterback's pretty protected. But I'll let you offer final thoughts to Stan and to those who are listening.
Yes, Brady truly plays in a different era than some of those aforementioned quarterbacks. And the ones today are enjoying a lot of rules where the quarterbacks are much more protected. There's a lot more flags on roughing the passer. There's a really hilarious vignette on NFL Network that's probably still out there on social media about how a sack should be done. And it's basically put the guy down for bedtime story, basically. And it's like, that's not a sack. That's, you know, we've... And in some ways, I mean, the game has changed because, I mean, players are getting bigger and faster and stronger, and we're having to adjust.
Yeah.
And Brady definitely is going to be in his own unique time of history, as these all were before, and yeah. The players all come after. I mean, I mentioned before, there's kind of a new generation of quarterbacks are more mobile and making plays with their legs. It's just going to be interesting to see how football evolves. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Pro Bowl being a flag football game is telling us something about the direction the NFL is going to go in the future. We never know, especially with the issues we've seen on the field with concussions and head injuries. And
well, we'll see more of Brady. Brady's not over. Yes. $375 million contract with Fox. You'll be seeing him anchor and report on the news, giving us his insight and expertise. And my producer, Patrick, was saying Kobe Bryant fought to keep his marriage after his scandal. They stayed together. Let's pray our quarterback, Tom Brady. Let's pray for him, okay? And Matthew, thank you. Matthew Davis, our gratitude.